all in their 20s, minus women, fucking cows, dreaming of rape, thrashing on pallets, rubbing their thighs, and waiting for the new girl, the one who took Baby Sugg's place after Hallie bought her with 5 years of Sundays. Maybe that was why she chose him, a 20-year-old man, so in love with his mother, he gave up 5 years of Sabbaths just to see her sit down for a change was a serious recommendation. She waited a year, and the Sweet Home men abused cows while they waited with her. She chose Hallie, and for their first bedding, she sewed herself a dress on the sly. Won't you stay on a while? Can't nobody catch up on 18 years in a day? Out of the dimness of the room in which they sat, a white staircase climbed toward the blue and white wallpaper of the second floor. Paul D. could see just the beginning of the paper, discreet flecks of yellow sprinkled among a blizzard of snowdrops, all backed by blue. The luminous white of the railing and steps kept him glancing toward it. Every sense he had told him the air above the stairwell was charmed and very thin. But the girl who walked down out of that air was round and brown with the face of an alert doll. Paul D. looked at the girl and then at Setha, who smiled, saying, "Here she is, my Denver. This is Paul D., honey, from Sweet Home. Good morning, Mr. D. Garner, baby. Paul D. Garner. Yes, sir. Glad to get a look at you. Last time I saw your mama, you were pushing out the front of her dress." "Still is," Setha smiled, "provided she can get in it." Denver stood on the bottom step and was suddenly hot and shy. It had been a long time since anybody, good-willed white woman, preacher, speaker, or newspaper man, sat at their table, their sympathetic voices called liar by the revulsion in their eyes. For 12 years, long before Grandma Baby died, there had been no visitors of any sort, and certainly no friends, no colored people, certainly no hazelnut man with too long hair, and no notebook, no charcoal, no oranges, no questions. Someone her mother wanted to talk to, and would even consider talking to while barefoot. Looking, in fact, acting like a girl instead of the quiet, queenly woman Denver had known all her life, the one who never looked away, who, when a man got stomped to death by a mare right in front of Sawyer's restaurant, did not look away, and when a sow began eating her own litter, did not look away then either. And when the baby spirit picked up Here Boy and slammed him into the wall hard enough to break two of his legs and dislocate his eye, so hard he went into convulsions and chewed up his tongue, still her mother had not looked away. She had taken a hammer, knocked the dog unconscious, wiped away the blood and saliva, pushed his eye back in his head, and set his leg bones. He recovered, mute and off balance, more because of his untrustworthy eye than his bent legs. And winter, summer, drizzle or dry, nothing could persuade him to enter the house again. Now here was this woman, with the presence of mind to repair a dog gone savage with pain, rocking her crossed ankles and looking away from her own daughter's body, as though the size of it was more than vision could bear. And neither she nor he had on shoes. Hot, shy, now Denver was lonely. All that leaving, first her brothers, then her grandmother, serious losses, since there were no children willing to circle her in a game or hang by their knees from her porch railing. None of that had mattered as long as her mother did not look away, as she was doing now, making Denver long, downright long, for a sign of spite from the baby ghost. "She's a fine-looking young lady," said Paul D. "Fine-looking. Got her daddy's sweet face. You know my father? Knew him. Knew him well." "Did he, ma'am?" Denver fought an urge to realign her affection. "Of course he knew your daddy. I told you. He's from Sweet Home.